Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
As I was abiding with the Lord, this morning, you know, God just, you know, obviously, those that are around me, you've been hearing me talk about it, but power, you know, people are just attracted to power, and that you'll see even ministers that move with authority and power. You'll see people who don't even know Jesus at all. They'll be attracted to that minister, and they'll have, if it's a man, for example, they'll have women come up quite often and say, "The Lord told me that I'm supposed to be your wife." I mean, it just happens all the time to in those positions, yeah. When you're in public, to Pat, not to me. And so but what it is, they're actually being overtaken by their want to draw to power. I mean, you look at presidents and how people, it's like, but the day before he was president, he was nobody to you. But all of a sudden, the day he became president, you were attracted to the power that he held. I mean, think about Saul. King Saul was hiding behind luggage before he was king. The day he was king, you know, people were drawn to him. And there is something in our sinful nature that, you know, why does anybody lift up at the church-wise, I mean, the world-wise maybe, but the world-wise, somebody like, you know, Donald Trump. Mm. He's a man that's made a lot of money, ever how he's made a lot of money. But in regards to, should not be the role model of the church, but it's power. People like the power. Yeah. That somebody that names a building after him, you know, has. And they're attracted to power. And the dangerous thing about that, if you don't discern the fact, the reason why that part of you is attracted to power, that's your sin nature, that you're going to be deceived. You're going to be really deceived. And if you let your pain push you, if you let problems push you, if you think, you know, I just need a miracle, and we all need a miracle. And I'm not talking about God is a God of miracles. But if you stake everything on miracles and not on relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be easily deceived. You're going to be easily deceived. And what I'm going to talk to you about, when we get back from the break, Revelation chapter 16, miracles are going to be used in the last days to gather kings to Armageddon. Huh. It's going to be loose. God's going to loose an angel that's going to put something on the earth that creates the ability to perform miracles that's going to cause kings to be so drawn by this power, but they're going to be drawn to make war with God, with the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about that because we need to begin to understand, are we supposed to chase after signs or are signs supposed to follow us? Mm-hmm. You know, are we supposed to be in love with God or in love with what God can give us? Are we supposed to be in love with the miracle maker and giver? Or the miracle itself. I'm going to talk about, I'm reading this in the Bible now. I'm reading this in the Bible, so I'm not making this up. It's Revelation chapter 16, and there's different layers of judgment, and everybody has all their concepts when this is going to happen or not. But I would say to people that just lost their husband, it was murdered in northern Iraq, that's got their children that was killed, that's been taken into sex slavery and being forced to be a slave to a radical Islam and ISIS, for us to say that she's not going to go through anything, she's a believer,
yeah,
that they're not going to go through any persecution and say, well, no, that's not going to happen. It's like it sounds like the bowls of troubles on her or them. Mm. And the truth is like we just really don't know. I mean, everybody knows in part and prophesies in part. We hope. But either way, you have seven seals. When you look at Book of Revelations, you have first the letters to the churches, and the letters begin to explain, you know, what's going to happen. Judgment begins in the house of God if my people repent. So it begins with the church, which shocks a lot of paradigms in the context of that. Secondly, the battle, the redemption plan of God is released. This the title deed to earth, the scroll, and on the scroll, you know, Father God's going to give it his decision to Jesus in timing when he decides to do that, but on it has seven seals on there. And there's nobody that's worthy enough to be able to undo these seals except for one, and that's Jesus Christ. And each time he undoes one of these seals on this title deed to earth, redemption of earth, is that something gets loosed on the earth. You know, some tribulation begins to happen on the earth, and it's minimum force necessary to bring in the greatest amount of the harvest. because God could just whack us out. It's not about that.
Right.
It's about how much pressure is it going to take for you to repent, right?
Right.
And then the last seal has seven trumpets, and then there's seven trumpets that are going to be, each trumpet gets blown, you know, and it just it moves along like that, and the horses, and then the these bowls. But when you think about this, when you're looking at deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're absolutely wrong. And recently somebody was saying something about deception. I was so excited that they had said it. Ah, it was a Trail Life USA. Mm-hmm. When they were talking about deception, the founder, John Stenberger, and John Severin, and the others. Mm-hmm. And it's like, somebody's talking about deception. Oh my goodness, this is
good.
And, cause deception's crazy. Cause deception is when you're totally convinced you're right. I mean, you can write books on being right. You're actually wrong. But you don't know you're wrong because you're deceived. That's a dangerous place to be. John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, the longer you're deceived, the harder it is to convince you that you're deceived. Hmm. The longer that we're deceived, the thicker the veil gets, the harder it is to communicate to somebody that this is off. And just the very fact of seeing radical Islam and things going on, people saying they're doing something for God when they're killing the image of God, and that alone should put the fear of God to say, you know what, we need to humble ourselves, mm-hmm. and realize that anybody can be deceived outside of God. And so Jesus is talking about, you know, don't be deceived. And so in this, you know, in Revelation chapter, this is a revelation of Christ, by the way, Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 16, he's talking about, I believe it's the sixth angel right here, and he says, in verse 12, he says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. And when you think about Euphrates, you're looking at all these rivers right now in Iraq, and mm-hmm. and they're coming down. They're talking about the Mogul Dam. What is it? The Mosul Dam. And you're looking at these rivers. And so this mm-hmm. is pretty interesting. Wow. So that's what we're talking about, these times, you know, the times and the seasons that we're in. They said that this, if they broke that dam, it would flood. But now it's talking about the judgment's going to be the dam, this river's going to be dried up. He says the sixth angel is going to pour out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters will dry up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And so you're looking at, you know, the eastern kings, and you're looking at China and all those particulars, preparing the way for them. And so then he says, then I saw three evil spirits. So God sends this angel, so from the throne room of God, and God is so upset. He's so upset when you read about this. I mean, it's the cup is full for the earth. And he's so upset that nobody can even come into his throne room until this is dealt with. He's filled with smoke, and just, you can imagine how it's just, he's talking about it. And he's sending these angels out. And so the sixth angel comes out, pours out this bowl, dries up the river Euphrates. But then, in addition, he says, then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. So think about it. So God poured out deception on the earth. I mean, he poured this out. Mm-hmm. And when he poured out and dried up the river Euphrates, all of a sudden, then he saw what three spirits come out. And these, it came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the prophet. And so prophets, you have to understand that that false prophets, Jesus talks all the time about people who say they're of the Lord and they're not. And quite often where people say that they're of the Lord, they're talking about miracles. You know, something happened. You know, she laid hands on me. He laid hands on me. I was in the parking lot about to get in my car. And all of a sudden, Sister So-and-so came up and put her hand on me, the mm-hmm. one you ran out of the church.
Right.
And I just want to tell you, she's a true prophet because she laid hands on me. And she said, thus saith the Lord. And this word came, you know, and it was totally accurate. It was totally accurate word. And so they start talking about that mm-hmm. and giving legitimacy to false folks based on powerful happenings taking mm-hmm. place. And so this is being poured out. And this is what's interesting about it. What really stood out to me was that these spirits, they were demons. They literally, in verse 14, he says, they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Hmm. So miracles, end time miracles, and it's, people say, well, how could that be? Well, it happens, believe me. But just to tell you this, if Satan is the one oppressing someone, couldn't he not oppress them? If she's bent over because a demon has been on her back for 10 years, a woman with issue in her life, and if he wants people to follow him, all of a sudden, just like Jezebel always does, this is how Jezebel rewards you, treats you normal, you know, yeah. pulls off the torture and the pain and the Alinsky methodologies all right. of you. And so, either way, so you're going to start seeing people that were sick and then they're healed. You're going to see people that were broke and then they're financially blessed. Then you're going to start seeing these different things happen, and it's like, it's going to be so powerful. These miracles are going to be so powerful. And you think how hard it is to unite the earth now. Mm-hmm. But in the name of miracles, think about it. Deceptive miracles from false prophets. They're going to gather the kings. Mm. And they're coming together on the day of God Almighty. As a matter of fact, this is what he says in the next particular verse. He says, behold, I come like a thief, and this is the words of Jesus. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not be naked and be ashamed and shamefully exposed. Then he says, then they gathered the kings together to the place in Hebrew that's called Armageddon. I mean, think about this. I mean, what's going to crank up? Yeah, lawlessness is going to crank up and all these different things, but understand simultaneously there's going to be a world religion crank up. This false religion, you know, with power, with things happening in the context of it. And it's going to orchestrate kings. And understand, if your king is going towards the devil, your nation's going to go towards the devil.
That's right.
Don't think that your head on your body can go one direction and your shoulders will go another. I mean, wherever the head goes, so goes the body, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you're looking at nations now coming together, uniting under this power, this miraculous, deceptive power. Frogs, right? And gathering to make war against Jesus Christ, against the Lamb of God. And how many people today, they're looking for a miracle, but they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for a way out of their pain, but they're not looking to be a disciple of Jesus. They're looking for somebody to tell them something good, but they're not looking for the Word of God to read it to find out what God says. How many people are just wide open right now for this great deception?
Yeah.
It's like, do a song, do a dance, entertain me.
Wave your hand a little bit over here.
Yeah, and you have to understand, you're wide open for deception. I mean, you're wide open for deception at a point like that, because the only way you're going to know someone, Jesus talks about it. He talks about these false prophets in Matthew chapter 7. He says, listen, again, he says, I mean, this is like the gathering to make war against God is going to be done through miraculous powers, so powerful that's going to gather nations. It's going to gather kings. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us, this is not just for the last bowl of judgment or the sixth bowl of judgment. Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not use power? Did we not have miraculous signs? Did we not, this is what he says. Many will say to me that day, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So that what they're saying is, oh, we didn't do what the Word of God says, but we actually moved in power. There was power. You remember the power? And there's power. I mean, the way we're created in the image and likeness of God, you can actually build a tower to heaven and get everybody lining up with this Nimrod here to be able to build it, and God's going to have to come down and confuse your language and divide you up so it doesn't come to pass. Because he says what they're going to do at the Tower of Babel, they're going to accomplish it. Mm-hmm. And so if a Nimrod can do this, and the way the human nature works, if a corporation understands, write the vision, put it on a shingle, stick it in the libraries, I'm going to stick it in the elevator. So when everybody gets in the elevator, they'll look at the vision and they'll hear it in the board meetings and they'll have it all over the place. And then it just comes to pass because that's how God's created us. That power comes the way God's created us to be as creative human beings, that things happen. But it doesn't mean it's God. It just means we're created in the image and the likeness of God. It's when we lay down that before the Lord. We lay down these things before God. And so there, that he says, and we're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. He says, many people are going to come to me and they're going to say, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? But he says, only the ones who do something. You're going to have to do something. There's a gospel being preached right now that you don't have to do nothing. But Jesus said, forget about them. This is what Jesus said. Only those who do the will of my Father. And then he denounces all the ones who chase miracles and powers and all that. And miracles are great. We need miracles, and we see miracles. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is greater than the miracle, by the way. Right. The miracle of God. We're talking about this whole thing began by looking at Revelation chapter 16 and going like, man, this angel is going to pour something out called a bowl, and it's going to release these spirits like frogs, and it's going to cause these false prophets to go forth, and miracles are going to happen so powerful that's going to gather the kings of the earth, all the kings of the earth, to the point they're so convinced that it's of God that they're going to make war with God, thinking they're actually for God, but they're against God. I mean, think about it. That's deception. And it's like, man, we have to be very careful. He tells us in Matthew, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, he says, you know, don't be deceived. And that, which means, you know, we got to be careful about that. If you're so convinced that you can never be deceived, you already are. Mm. You already are. It's why you need people in your life. You know, people say, you know, that it's a weak thing to have someone in your life. No, it's actually a strong thing to have people in your life. So many people, including pastors, are all alone. You don't need to be alone. You're so vulnerable. You're so vulnerable when you're alone. You need to have people around you, and every believer, male or female, you need to have people around you that know your life, that they can see things in your life and help you out. They could talk to you and go, what in the world are you even thinking? Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, you know, he told us in Matthew chapter 7, he says, watch out for false prophets. So, for example, you know, if you are having a problem with pickpockets in your community, right? And so your spouse tells you, or your parent tells you, or someone tells you, hey, watch out for pickpockets. And the reason why they're saying that is because there's people picking your pocket, and they don't want your, you know, pocket to be picked. Whew, that's close. And so, you know, with that, so it's just you logically start looking around. So when you walk down the street, you start looking like, is that the pickpocket that we saw on the news? Is that the one that's picking? You know, you're thinking that way. But for some reason, the church, when Jesus says, watch out for pickpocket, no, he says, watch out for false prophets, nobody looks out for them. Mm. They just go, it's a while. You know, somebody says, you know, are you a Christian? And they go, yes. They go, oh, God, I'm so glad you are. I mean, that's great. It. That's the whole thing, right?
Thank you.
Right, right, right. Do you know, where's your church at? And they like, you give them an address. And as long as you have the address, everything's fine. That's even right. Though we showed you ABC News on the VFN Torch, you can see it. Atheist is over this mega church thing. That particular one, not all but that one. They didn't even know it. A pastor that's a professing atheist that's, quote, a pastor over the church on ABC News, mind you.
Mm.
And they're deceived. Their flock is deceived, thinking that's okay. And he said that's the only trade that he had. And Jesus said, watch out for those folks. And I think the difficult thing is that when we're in need, when we have a lack in our life, or if we have something that we need, are we willing to live the rest of our life with that lack? Or are we going to go to anybody who will fill it? Because there's nobody like Lucifer who wants to be able to meet your needs with a stimulus package, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, he or she says, oh, I can meet your need. You know, what do you need? You need a job, get you a job. What do you need? We need a house. I get you a house. 57th Avenue, I could get you one. Right? It's a long ways from 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, think about it. This is what happens. And so we have to be willing to say, you know what? My God can deliver me from this fiery furnace. You know, my God can heal me. I can be delivered. I can be set free. But at the end of this thing, anyway, life's going to end. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Even if it means the rest of my life, I'm like Paul writing big letters because my vision's not that good. Or even if it's whatever it is. But you can't sell out in regards to you know, you know, so many people today, I mean, what would people do for money? I'm just like, my dog embarrasses me when what he'll do for a treat. He's just like, come on. I had such better, I thought better of you. You know, he's like, give me a bone or something. Like, what are you doing? You know, and it's amazing. People are like that quite often. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I'm not. It's like just the bone wasn't big enough. But if it was 10,000, you probably would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear the word free, like a blue light special. People go crazy. It's like, what does that mean? We saved 35 cents? Is that what that was all about? You know? There's discounts. There's like gas is $2 cheaper on the other side of the world. It's like, oh my goodness. And so you got to be understanding that the enemy is going to want to meet your need as much as God wants to meet your need. And so you got to know, I want God. And when I love God, God will meet my needs. And he says, watch out for these false folks who try to meet your need. Watch out for them. It's better to be in a house, peaceful house with a crust of bread than to be in some huge mansion with all the food in the world and living in misery. Mm-hmm. That's people that sold out. But he says, watch out for these false prophets. But then he says, you know, and we're talking about demons loosed on the earth, moving and saying that, and they're going to make war against the Christ, which is the anointing. They're going to make war against the Lamb of God. They're saying they are of God. The anointing of God is what they're saying, and it's not true. And Jesus said, watch out for them. He says, many people are going to come to me in the last days. This is who they are. They're going to come to me. They really believe what they were doing was of me. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And they're even going to talk to me, Jesus is saying, like they know me. They're going to show up. If these people had a lot of conversations with other people before they got to the throne room of God, say there was like 1,000 folks, they would have like signed autographs. They would have, you know, talked like they know Jesus. Mm-hmm. When they get to the throne room, they're going to show up and they really think that they're in tight with Jesus. They really do. Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
And Jesus says, he says, they're going to come up to me. They're going right in front of everybody. They're going to come up to me. And they're going to say, hey, Lord, Lord, hey, 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 it's me. It's me. Right?
Right.
That's what they're going to say. It's me. You know me. It's me. You know, I prophet. Remember, I was a prophet. I sold those prophetic words, you know, put $2 in the poor box and I'll give you a word. You know, those kind of things, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to be healed? Come up here, put some money in my offer and I'll heal it. You know, send the prayer cloth. Anyway, it can happen. And so, and they're so deceived that they're going to stand before the throne room of God before Jesus, and they're going to think everything's okay. That's how deceived they are. They're that close. They're not intentionally doing you wrong. They actually think they're doing right, but they're doing wrong. And they're taking, if you're following them, you're following them wrong. You're going, and you can't blame a deceiver for where you ended up. You have to go to God yourself and you have to make things right. And so they're going to look at Jesus and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he's going to say, listen, the only ones that are going to come in, the only ones that are going to come into heaven, the kingdom of God, the only ones are the ones who did the will of my Father.
That's right.
He didn't say the only ones that did miracles, that prophesied. Mm-hmm. He said that I don't even know you. Can you imagine how shocked that person is going to be at the throne room? Of course, they're into self, so they'll look back at the 1,000 people behind them going, you know what this makes me look like, Jesus? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know you. Can you imagine God saying, I don't even know you? Mm-hmm. And he said, only those who do the will of my Father. I mean, from Book of Revelation to Matthew, he's talking about deception, 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 deception. He said, only those who do the will of my Father. So then he goes on, Jesus continues to talk. And it's written about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, because of all this, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. What he's saying is, listen, you're going to have troubles in this life. And right now we're seeing all kinds of storms stirred up. But this is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that you can build your house on a solid rock, not on miracles, not on reputation, not on religious organizations, a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, that you hear the words and the will of God and you do the words and the will of God, that you have this intimate relationship with him. We have an abiding place for you, a free plan for you at iabide.org. You know, get your simple plan today. But understand, those that are deceived, those that are not, that are building their house on everything but what I'm talking about, they're not going to stand in the storm. You're not going to, no matter what, even though it seems like you're standing today because you're in tight with all the people that are in tight with darkness, that their fruit's not right, that they're tied into all these other things other than just tied into the love and the grace and the mercy of God. He talks about them. He talks about them there. This is what he says. He says in verse 26, he says, but everyone, this is what Jesus says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. The best survival plan that you can have for no matter what takes place in the earth is to make Jesus Christ truly the Lord of your life. And what that means is that he's the Lord of your life, that what he says goes. Everything that, that he says in his word is what you apply to your life. You just, you do it because you love him. You know, this is his word to you. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And you don't care what people are doing with their, you know, abracadabras or their whatever going on, that they're not living a life that's fruitful, and you stick with them and you find it's like, man, you don't even love. I mean, you don't even have, you have no, there's nothing in you but that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not going to be good for them. You can't convince them because they're deceived. But you yourself can make a right decision. You can say, you know what? Even if I burn, you know, even if I don't get a healing, which I would desire of healing and this or that or a breakthrough, even if I don't get it, he's still Lord. He's still Lord of all. He's still the Son of God. He's still the forgiver of my sins. I'm going to stand before the throne room of God, and he's going to know me, and I'm going to know him. I'm going to spend every day of my life getting to know him more and more. This is what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. He said that you may know the full measure of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about, he says, oh, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering and power. Spend your whole life, this moment vapor we have, and say, you know what? I just want to know him. It's not about all this religion. It's not about all this, you know, things that we're talking about, how people are getting deceived and all that. It's about you and Jesus walking together, strolling like it began in the garden, but now it's redeemed through Jesus Christ, able to stroll with God, talk with God in our day-to-day life, and beginning to advance his kingdom, not our own kingdom, to advance his will, not our will, our will, and to be able to tell as many as we can about the good news of Jesus Christ. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.